Woe to the teachers of the law, the day of the saints is here. Woe to the
Welcome to God News Network, where the saints are rising, where we are here to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Are you a saint? How do you find out? By listening to God News Network. Hello, everyone. I'm Saint Rick, coming to you on this beautiful Sunday. I am very excited to be here with you and with my good friend Saint Albert from South Carolina to share with you a message we have today about there's only one true way to eternal life. How do you get to eternal life? There are many religions that teach us so many different things that tell us, hey, we have all of these ways to get to eternal life. And my question is to you, how do you get there? As you can see, we will be sharing some video clips with you, and we have our fair use up there just for those of you video police out there. So you can see that we will have the right to share some of the information. But there is a big confusion, Albert, among people around the world. They believe that there are many different ways to get to heaven. There's also many things that say, guess what? I know that the Muslims and God are Christians and Jews and Buddhists. They all worship the same God. Matter of fact, there's a movement around the world to bring all the religions together under one agreed religion with many different points and many different views that are together, that we all agree that there is one religion that really we all subscribe to, coexist. You've seen those different things on the back of bumper stickers that say we have to coexist. I heard a good statement from one of the media guys throughout the week that was saying, if you truly want to coexist, why don't you open up your front door to those people who want to blow themselves up and kill you and cut off your head? Then we'll see how well you want to coexist with those people. But yet you want to complain about the fact that we need borders to protect our country, but you're not willing to leave your front door wide open. Instead, you hire security people and you get security systems and you buy guns and things like that. And you have bodyguards all around you as political leaders. You have bodyguards around you as what is called the Hollywoodists of the worlds, right? And everybody who was going to leave the country if Donald Trump became president, all those things, all of a sudden, they won't open their own doors to coexist. But they all believe that everybody worships the same God. Matter of fact, it's so prevalent that everybody believes that you worship the same God. There is a video clip here that we're going to play that was from ABC. This has been a while back, but it was President Bush in an interview. Thought this was very telling.
Which is a tough subject to talk about. You have called at times this battle against terrorism a crusade.
I said it once and probably shouldn't have used that word.
Do you think God is involved in this conflict?
I don't think this is a religious war. I think this is a war between evil people that are willing to kill on a mass scale, people that would like to end up.
By definition, he says that he don't believe it's a religious war. But then he says it's evil people. Wait a minute. How do we know what is evil and what is not evil? What is our standard to go by what is evil and what is not evil? Any thoughts on that, Albert?
Well, the only standard that there is out there is the law. And
but who made up the law?
Yeah, well, you know, different religions have their own concept of God's laws, or the Ten Commandments, or the 613 Commandments, and they all follow their own regulations and rules and all that. And Christianity, the true Christianity, is the only religion that is not based in those commandments. Believe it or not, people think that true Christianity is based in Mosaic commandments, and it's not. In fact, those Mosaic commandments are an extension of the commandments that came out through Adam, through the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which was the law. So just about all the other religions are really different than true Christianity. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And if you start looking at the Muslims and all that, yeah, you know, there's some good people that are Muslims and all that. But still, it is truly not what he's saying. It's truly a religious war. And this religious war has been going on for hundreds of years. And we know the story of the two sons, the son of the servant, a slave woman, and you know, and Isaac, you know, and
Ishmael.
So forth. And yeah. Ishmael, you know, it all comes from that. It's really a religious war. It's a war of either you believe that your righteousness is what's going to give you life, or you believe that it's God and his life that's going to be transferred to you. There's no other thing.
You have, let's say you and I are sitting on our front porch and you and I are together having a conversation and a nice cold glass of iced tea. Right. Now, we can see across the street and we have neighbor A on the right and neighbor B on the left. Now, we're just watching. But neighbor A and neighbor B about 10 years ago agreed that they're going to be at war. They agreed. They agreed they're going to be at war until the death of the other neighbor, period. No matter what happens, the other neighbor has to die. That's it, because they don't believe the same as I believe. That's their little concept in their battle. Now, we're watching on the front porch. Mm-hmm. We don't know all the information there, but we do know that they're constantly at war, and they've been at war ever since you and I have lived in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Now, if you and I look at each other and say, they're not fighting a religious war, but they've agreed it's a religious war, and they're the ones fighting the war, and they themselves believe it is a religious war. We're on the outside looking in, and we're saying, nah, it's not a religious war. Mm-hmm. Who cares what we are thinking on the outside of the war? If it doesn't line up with what they believe, then it's irrelevant. They believe it's a religious war. And as President Bush goes on here to say, this is really telling coming up.
People yearn to be free, no matter who they are or what their religion is. Freedom is ingrained in people's souls. Freedom was not placed there by the United States. It was, my judgment, it was placed there by something greater, the Almighty.
Do we all worship the same God, Christian and Muslim?
I think we do.
I think we do.
Yeah. And that is so strange, because the only people that don't have any freedom in the Muslim countries are the Christians. That is real strange what he says, because the Christians are the ones who are really not being permitted to do anything. Yet the Muslims, which are really the owners of those countries, they could do anything really within their religion. So mm-hmm. the ones that really don't have any freedom are the Christians. And it's funny to look at the
immigration. Now, wait a minute. You say the Christians don't have any freedom. You're speaking from a world's perspective, I would say,
right? Correct?
Okay, because right. you and I both know we're free spiritually.
Oh yeah.
So course. I just wanted to clear that up for anybody else. But
yeah, we're talking about world's perspective. That the people over there, to be a Christian in those nations is you're chancing your life, because they could come anytime and kill you or close your church up or do whatever has to be done. Hmm. So
had a verse starting off about, you know, there's only one true way to life. And you said it was in John chapter 5. What verses were you wanting to cover there in John chapter 5?
Well, we have verse 5:39 through 40. This depicts a lot of people who are kind of confused about God and religion, you know, and basically, you know, what it's talking about is the religious people here that were talking about the Jews, but it could be, this could be put on the Christians or Muslims or whoever, you know, you want to put the name on, you know, and really what it's talking about, you know, God is telling them, you know, you guys search the scriptures, you search the Bible, you search the Quran, you search all the scriptures because you think that in them, you're going to find eternal life. So these are people that are looking for eternal life, but they're looking for eternal life in the wrong places. When it goes on and it tells you, you know, the scriptures point to me for life. And, you know, I put the Quran because even though a Quran is not a Christian book, but even in a Quran, it's funny the things that it talks about God. You know, the Quran talks about God and it says that the Christ is a man without a father and mother. And not just that, it says that Christ was a sinless man. Now you tell me, which man have you ever met that is sinless? I mean, sinless in actions that he hasn't done, you know? And there's none. So, you know, I believe that God utilizes this world to show who he truly is. And the funny thing is that we look, but I think that the reason why we don't find is because we don't really seek Christ. We seek the scriptures. And that was the same mistake that the Jews made. They were seeking the scriptures for life. You know, if we talk about life here, and we're going to have to do a little explanation to what is life. What is the life that God is offering us? You know, because we talk all the time about life and this and life and that. And what is truly the life that Christ is offering us? Well, in the beginning, in Genesis, we had two people in Genesis, right? Mm-hmm. We had Adam and we had Eve. Eve eats out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which was a law, and she lost her life. She, not her physical life, but she lost the everlasting life. And the more abundance life, a life of freedom. She lost the freedom besides losing her living forever in God. And when that happened, Adam ate out of the same tree to rescue her. But you see, the problem is that Adam did not have eternal life. Adam couldn't offer Eve this eternal life or the life of God. There's only one person who had that life, and that is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ had to come to the world because of this. Jesus Christ had to die to that husband of the law as a man. And he had the capability as God to resurrect and lead us again to the freedom of choosing again life. And what is this life? Well, this life is his spirit. His spirit in us, helping us in all cases. Helping us, I mean, you name it, and when the spirit helps us. The spirit helps us in communicating with the Father. Whenever we don't even know how to communicate with the Father, the Spirit helps us and guide us to the right thoughts as to what the Father has made us instead of the thoughts that the world or the flesh gives you, which all that leads to abundant life. It leads to a life not of a slave or a servant, but a life out of a son and a rightful owner of everything.
A co-heir to the kingdom of God.
That's correct, Rick. And you know, this ownership that we have is an ownership that lasts forever, because Jesus Christ that lives in us lives forever.
So, Albert, in John chapter 1, verse 1, you talk about, you know, he's the life and he lives forever. This is kind of a recap of Genesis. This is really cool. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is capitalized. So the Word is a person. The Word isn't the Scriptures, not seeking the Scriptures. It's a person. It's Christ. And the Word was with God. Christ was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. He's the light that leads us through the darkness. He's the hope that brings us out of evil darkness, because he did it at the cross. If you think about it, the cross was supposed to be used to humiliate the Son of God, but yet it turned out to be the light of men and the victory over evil that was trying to make a fool out of him. And it was such an exchange that we don't have a true comprehension yet of how much love it must have taken for God to lay the life of his one and only Son, whom he loved dearly, at the hands of vile, filthy, nasty, evil flesh, low brain men. Think about that. Knowing what you're doing, the love that he must have had for all of us was beyond comprehension. But also, on the other hand, if you lay down the life of the one you love most to say, this is your way into me, and I'm going to lay him down and he's going to be victorious, and then you choose to reject him, woe unto you. And we're going to take that and we're going to go on to the next verse here in Proverbs chapter 8. Albert, you brought up this verse here. It's a great one in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso finds me finds life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Doesn't say you have to give. Doesn't say you are obligated to tithe all your paycheck. It doesn't say it says if you find him, you find life, and you get obtained favor from the Lord. Because you're giving honor to the fact that his Son was the sacrifice, and you know that, and you accept that, and you believe in that, and you give your life now as a slave to him, as a servant to him, to do his will, because you are honoring his sacrifice for the love he had for you. And we love because he first loved us, as it says in 1 John. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death.
Yeah. And he says that in many ways. In fact, there's one way that he says that: if you reject me here, I will reject you in front of my Father. It's no longer, it doesn't have to do, you know, religion is so stuck with sin that they think that the what's going on is sin, that sin is the one that's keeping us away from God and all that. That is not true. Jesus Christ took care of the sin problem at the cross. The only problem that we have is belief, is trust, is trusting in him. That's the only problem that's left. We're gone back again. What actually God has given us is that he has given us a chance again to come back in the same position that Adam and Eve was in paradise. But the only thing, the only difference now is that there's no two trees from choosing. You don't have to choose no more from two trees. There's not two trees standing out there, which is the knowledge of good and evil, which is the law and the tree of life. There's only one tree right now that is standing in front of you, and that is the tree of life, which is Christ.
And it says that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh, made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall, our partition, having abolished in his flesh even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of the two men one new man, making peace. He abolished in his flesh the law. And by doing that, you became dead to the law, as it says in Romans chapter 7, where it says, 7:4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also become dead to the law. How? By the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, who? To him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God.
And that right there is a very good statement, Rick, because right there it says that we were all, through the death of Christ, we were dead to the law or to that husband. But now, look at what it says, that ye should be married to another. Who is it that we should be married to now? There's only one husband left.
That would be him, Christ.
Yep. That is the husband that you got to be married in.
And when we get married to him, everything changes, and now we get life. How do we get life? It says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man shall come unto the Father but by me. If we all worship the same God, then everybody would say he's our Father. And it says clearly here, no one can come unto the Father but by me. Why? Because it was his sacrifice that paid for our ugliness, our sin. And without him as the propitiation for that sin, you have only your own filthy rags to count on. How's that going for you out there? How's that going for all of you who are trying to make it on your own, that you feel that you're good enough, that you feel that you've got what it takes to make it on your own? You know, just as well as I do, we're not capable.
You can. And Rick, the honest truth is that the law was really a shadow of God. In other words, the law, what it represented is the perfection of God. It never represented the perfection of man. If it was a representation of man, the law, it would be a cinch for man to observe the law completely. But there's a big problem. That law wasn't a representation of man's perfection. It was a representation of God's perfection. And mind you, it was a small representation, because God's perfection cannot be calculated. It cannot be calculated. It cannot be written down. That was only something, a tool that God used through the Jewish people and also through Adam and Eve, a tool to show man that it was impossible for us to live as gods through our works. And that's self-righteousness. That's what the devil fell. The devil fell through self-righteousness. And he used what the devil meant to kill us. He used it for good. And that was the law. You see, the devil used the law to kill man and to condemn man. But God turned around and grabbed the same law to show us our inability to become gods by our efforts, that we needed in order for us to be part of the family of God. is actually to accept his righteousness, his work on the cross. And up to now, unfortunately, religion doesn't get that. Religion doesn't get that. They're still trapped in the same trick that the devil for thousands of years has used with men. And that is performance. It doesn't matter what religion. I mean, we could go back to the Tower of Babel. The reason why the Tower of Babel, God was so mad with those people that they gave everybody different languages and just destroyed the tower is because they were trying to reach heaven by their own efforts. And that's what religion is. There is no life in that. Neither while you're working on it, nor when you finish that tower. That tower that each individual person is trying to do to reach God, there is no life in that. We all know it. We see it. We see it all. It's nothing that me and Rick have to talk about it. You could see it in church. There is no life. Whoa. Although every...
We end up having a little technical issue here. Yeah. I apologize for that.
Yeah. But there is no life in that. We put on our faces like if we were, you know, like if we were, everything was okay and dandy and we're taking one step at a time and that's and that ladder and we're reaching it, you know, and it's not true. We will never reach those steps. Never reach those steps. It wasn't meant to. It wasn't meant to, Rick.
Right. We were meant to reach certain things, and God wanted to make it easy for us to reach Him. Have you had a chance to reach Him? If you have not, it is time to give your life to Him. We ask that you repeat after us if you're ready to give your life to Christ. And you do that pretty simply. How? By saying, I believe on your Son. I believe that He died for me, that He was buried, and that He was resurrected after the third day. This is the gospel. It's the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross, so that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, say amen. And if you've done that, you now are being celebrated by multitudes of angels around the universe because you have given your life to Christ. And now He said He will pour on you favor. So now you have favor unto you and everything. And you will now start to experience a whole new life. It doesn't mean tomorrow you're going to open up your bank account and you're rich. What it means is you will get to now fulfill the purpose for which God put you here for. And that purpose is to spread the gospel around the world by using your gifts and your talents that you're already good at, right where you're at. God placed you right where you're at to be an ambassador, right there. Right where you are today. And you're touching people you don't even know you're touching. The good news is this. If you need more training, you can always find it here at God News Network. Go to GodNewsNetwork.com. Tell all your friends about us at GodNewsNetwork.com or go to YouTube.com/C/GodNewsNetwork. We also have Facebook. We have Twitter. And most of all, we have the Holy Spirit and Christ. And that is all we teach here is Christ. And never forget, the saints are rising.